Very, very good. Well, again, it's good to have Brother Prady with us tonight, and we'll continue our series of messages next Sunday on practical paths of following Jesus, and we'll do Christ-likeness and alcohol next Sunday night. But we have Brother Prady with us tonight. Like I said, 30 years now, and over 30 years in Honduras, and done a great job there. Come on, Brother Prady, and report to us, and he's going to preach a little bit to us, too. Amen. We need that.
Well, it's real good to be here with you today. We've prayed for this church back when you were on a long ways from here. I didn't realize it was that far out here. But it's exciting that you're out here, a good group of people and building. Congratulations. And congratulations for your faithful support and prayers for us. We really need your prayers, and I really appreciate it. I really believe what we have in Honduras is because you prayed. And I believe in prayer. Thank you for your prayers. Really appreciate it. We've been missionaries, as the pastor mentioned, for 34 years in Honduras. By the way, Lena and I will be married 50 years in April.
Amen.
So I guess I'm not too bad. She's kept me around a while. And so we'll be celebrating that in April. And the last part of February, we'll be going down for a national ladies' conference. Lena will be translating for them. So we have a pretty good schedule ahead of us. We'll have youth camp in April. Then in April, our middle son is getting married, and we'll maybe have normally we have our men's conference in May also. So appreciate your prayers very much. We are church planters. That means we go out in an area where there's not a gospel preaching church and win people to the Lord and then train them and establish an indigenous church with their own pastor and teachers. And Lord willing, in their own building. Not always possible to do that, but that is our goal. We've started 24 mission works, and because of lack, the men are not very responsible, and as a result, we've only got 7 churches with pastors. So that's a prayer need right there. Pray for the men of Honduras, that the Lord would raise up some good men that we could use as pastors. We've been able to pass out over 2 million tracts and Bibles. We've started helping another missionary. A new missionary came to Honduras about 3 years ago, and we started a deaf ministry, and the Lord's really blessed that in 3 areas of Honduras. In our Bible Institute, we have a class that runs about 20. So, by the way, that's interesting. Have you ever thought about, these are people from the mountains, and so when somebody deaf is born to the family shuns them. Because they don't know how to talk to them. So these are children, and some of them are now adults, that's never heard the word God. They don't know the world is round. And so it's a very basic ministry. And what the Lord's been good, and we thank you, Lord, for it. We're going to start out with the slides tonight. Honduras is down below Mexico and Guatemala. About 3,000 miles from here. I get my guns aimed in the right direction. There it goes. Named by Columbus, one of the first countries that Columbus landed on. Honduras means deep waters. Has beautiful ocean, 2 oceans, the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf Coast. Now, the most rugged mountainous country in all Central America. A country about the size of Pennsylvania with 8 million people. Most of the people, of course, live in cities. The country people are migrating to the cities, but there's still a great area of Honduras and with villages that are unreached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. That's a local 7-Eleven there, a man selling things out of his little cart. Still use the oxen, beast of burden, pack horses. Occasionally you'll see alongside the roads as you pass them by in the Mercedes-Benz. This is a typical kitchen built out of mud, and they stick the wood inside, feed the wood at the rate they feed the wood determines the heat of the stove. She's cooking beans and rice and tortillas, which is a typical food, and they may have a few potatoes there. It is the center of the agriculture center of Honduras. There's a typical house made out of adobe blocks with tile roofs. Most of the children only have about a sixth grade education. They have a large sixth grade graduation because they know they will have to go, most of them will have to go to work. This boy is selling vegetables out of his cart. Se vende verduras. But when he's not selling vegetables, you'll find him out in the soccer field. That's the national sport. And every neighborhood has a soccer field. From the time they can almost walk, they're kicking the soccer ball around. Again, we are the agriculture center of Central America, and we eat very well. That is the center of the social center in Honduras, is the marketplace. People come from all over, and on Sunday, to buy their vegetables. You can see they're very good vegetables. That's where we passed out most of our tracts, using our church people. It is a Catholic country. 94% of the people are Catholic. Very hard people. This lady we witnessed to won many of our family, but in 15 years she never accepted Lord Jesus Christ and passed away going to hell. Therefore, we have a very strong ministry to children, where they're reaching them while their hearts are still tender and soft to reach, going door to door, again in areas where there are not an evangelical church, winning them. We are the Prideys. That's my wife Lena and our youngest son David, who's 13 years old. This is the rest of our family and our grandchildren. All but David, the inset, live in Honduras, and David lives in Fort Worth and works with the Tarrant County Sheriff's Department. We're sent out of the Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Brother Weatherby is our pastor, sent through the Independent Baptist Fellowship International in Tegucigalpa, the very center of the populace of Honduras, is where we are at this time. Honduras is a town of about 50,000 people, growing very rapidly, and tremendous needs in the new neighborhoods as the people settle. This was our first time, when we first started in Tegucigalpa about 10 years ago. We started this little adobe house, outgrew that immediately, and there's some of the people come down the trail to go to church. That's my family and then the people that we started out with. We moved into a new area. The Lord allowed us to buy a lot with a small house on it. There's the people coming down the trails to the church, the new location. And again, we preached to them, began to train them as the Lord allowed them to be saved, baptized them, and then there we are ordaining our last pastor, Don Polo. Don Polo we knew and helped since he was about 15 years old, and the Lord has given him a wonderful insight and burden for pastoring. Doing a great job. I got to talk to him this afternoon by telephone. Can you imagine? I can tell you a story about how it took me 6 months to get a message to my wife, or 6 weeks to get a message to my wife one time by telegraph. So we appreciate the telephone. Pray for that work. Don Polo's wife will go in tomorrow and they're going to analyze whether she needs to have a kidney removed. A very difficult decision to make. My wife has a ministry in Honduras. She's past 8 years has taught in school, in a private school, helping them to develop a Christian atmosphere and a quality school. It was a school that our son David went, or Nathan went to, until we started homeschooling last summer. Also, she's in charge of training the teachers and helping them develop their Sunday school classes and training the pastor's wives. That's a needy area. Hilda was not saved until about 5 years ago and was very shy and very kind of backwards. And you can see right there, she looks like a pastor's wife, doesn't she? What a joy to see the Lord touch their hearts and make such a change in their lives. Next, in about 3 weeks, Lena will be translating for Martha Johnson from our church and Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford. And that's one of her ministries. She also translates for the school. She also is a teacher for the ladies. That's our ladies group in the last church we developed. Six of those ladies are now Sunday school teachers. We work with medical groups, construction groups, and this is an eye doctor group that came to Honduras. We had 25 people saved through this outreach. Plus, our people can't afford glasses. So there we were able to fit them with glasses. And Don Polo, on the right of the bottom picture, each person, we've grouped them in groups of 15, and they had a lesson on salvation. Every single person got a tract and was witnessed to one by one. So we were able to reach 1,600 people. And we're able to teach 1,400. Some of them didn't come back for the classes. Well, the church grew, the mission grew, and soon there wasn't room in this little house for them. So we said, well, what are we going to do? They said to me, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I just purchased this lot. I didn't have any more money. So I said, but we can dig a ditch. It doesn't cost anything to dig a ditch in Honduras. Cost of a shovel and a pick, maybe. So we started digging the ditch. The church kept growing. We were so big that we couldn't have a service with children and adults. So there was a great need for a bigger building. There we began to put up the walls. We went step by step. The Lord provided provided the foundation materials. And then one of our own people donated the bricks. And then some folks that cared about the church and burdened about the church bought the beams. Our church had a plan of buying a meter of roofing, and so the roof began to go on, and there's our church today, Iglesia Bautista Victoria. Now, in August, Big Springs, Trinity Baptist Church in Big Springs is going to go down and add a Sunday school onto it because we've outgrown the Sunday school. There's one of the baptisms. One of the men we trained as a pastor. We have the start of the Bible Institute where we are training the pastors. The Lord blessed about 3 years ago. We were able to build a nice modern building. And there were some of the Sunday school teachers that we trained that was saved just a few years ago. One of the fastest growing adults in our church, Dina. Look at the smiles on their faces. These are people that don't have enough to eat. They can't buy medicine for their children. And yet God has put a joy in their hearts, just like He promised He would. What love there is, a bond in the church. What a difference between the neighborhood and the environment of the city and the church. There's our Bible Institute before it was rebuilt. You can see the roof is in very bad shape. In fact, on the far side, it was falling in. Now it's twice that big and a very modern-looking building. That's where they'll have the ladies' conference. These are some of our students. And then Don Polo, who now is no longer a student, is now one of the teachers in the Bible Institute. Now, if you look at those faces, most of them, there's a couple of smiles, but most of them are very sad, sad faces. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in a country like that, is heartbreaking. Most of those children do not even know their father. Men just drift from home to home and town to town. This boy has this beautiful smile on his face because he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder where these boys are going. Well, if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus, they're going to go to hell. Just wandering without purpose or direction. Lots of religion, but that's not the answer. You know, our time is very short. Jesus says, I'm coming. There you see us looking for Him. Well, not really. We're flying a kite. But He is coming soon. And we must reach these people. These people are fairly rich. There is a very rich class of people, very small. But they're there. But you know, money cannot save them. Politics cannot save them. Class cannot save them. The only salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the marketplace. Thousands upon thousands of people that we've not reached yet with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children like this young lad in the front needs to be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he might not have to go to hell, but that he could go to heaven like we have that opportunity. See, Guatapeque, we appreciate your support. And this is San Isidro. I wanted to show you a couple of places that we have not reached yet. Pray for these villages. This is a very large village, San El Porvenir. These are gospel-reaching church. does not have a Baptist church in that village. Pray for us as we reach out. We'll be going back. We hope to start another mission work this year. And as you pray and send, and some of you maybe will be able to come and help us and go with us. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." And it is our desire to reach them as you pray for us and as you send them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great word and promise. We thank you for this church that's had a part in this ministry. I ask you to bless them, bless each individual, and put in their heart a burning desire to pray for these people. And maybe some would even be willing to go out into the world and carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help every one of them, every one of us, have a desire to a greater work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to catch the excitement and the enthusiasm and the need. Help us relate to a country and a people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to bring you a short message out of the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. Jonathan was a great character. You know, the Bible has so many fantastic stories. This is one of the great stories in the Bible. I really love it. I can't do it justice, but you can go home and read over it and enjoy it as the Holy Spirit teaches you. But Israel's at war. They're overcast by the enemy. They're not allowed to have arms. Very few of them have swords and shields. And here comes the enemy that's totally armed. 30,000 chariots and all the swords and spears and armor that they need. And they're just laughing at Israel. They're making fun of Israel. They're camped up on top of the mountain. And if you read in chapter 13, they're up on a cliff. And just making fun of Israel. And Jonathan proposes something that I would like for us to see tonight. First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 6. "And Jonathan said to his young man," by the way, there's only 600 soldiers with his father Saul. All the rest of the people in chapter 13 have run off. Some of them joined the enemy. Some of them are hiding in bushes, you'll read. And 600 of them with Saul, trembling. Jonathan steps out. Verse 6, chapter 14, 1 Samuel. "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come.'" Remember, there's 30,000 chariots and how many thousands of foot soldiers, well armored. And he says, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." And I have this shaded with red in my Bible. "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few." I'd like to talk to you tonight individually. You can make a difference in this world today. You can make a difference right here in Haslett. You can make a difference in Fort Worth, Texas, in the United States. And some of you maybe would raise up and be the difference in this world around us. But sometimes we're like a sponge. We're just soaked in with society and our neighbors and those around us. Jonathan stepped out. This is what we'd like for you to do. Consider tonight stepping out. One man. Let's read the rest of it. "And it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said, and look at the willingness of the armor bearer. What an attitude. said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say unto us, Come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hands, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold the Hebrews! those cowardly Hebrews, come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and said, and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me. For the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. You know, it's one thing to have say we have faith. It's something else to exercise it. I always say we need to be out on the end of the apple tree limb. You know, we had apples when I was a kid. And the biggest apples seemed to be always on the end of the limb. And we were always trying to get it. And guess what? If we got out there too far, the limb would break and we'd fall down. God wants us out there where if He doesn't hold the limb up, it's going to break and fall. Tithings, offerings, serving the Lord. I'm not capable of being a missionary, qualified. Most people aren't. But we need to get out there where God can be seen, where we can experience the presence of the Lord. Well, that's where Jonathan was. Now, if you read, and we're going to read in a minute, remember I said the enemy was up on a garrison, up on a rock. Over in chapter 13, it says they're up on a sharp rock. So for Jonathan to go up there, he's got to climb up a sheer cliff. It's not going to be easy. He's going to skin up his hands. He's going to skin his knees. Look what it says. Verse 13, And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, which, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Now, most of us today, religion tells us that if we'll just pray, fold our little tender hands and pray, God will do it all. Will He? Jonathan skinned his hands up and his knees up, and he worked at climbing that cliff, sharp rock. And then when he got up there, had God taken care of him? No. God hadn't taken care of him. They had to pull out their sword. As tired as they were, they had to go into the enemy's camp. But now, after they've done their part, look what happens. God expects us to use our faith and exercise our faith. But boy, when we do, I've seen wonderful things happen in my life. I think you've seen some wonderful things happen right here. Amen. Look what happened. Verse 15, And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. Boy, the Bible is pretty picturesque, isn't it? Great trembling. Well, for time's sake, let's go to verse 20. And Saul, remember I said that some of Israel, the Hebrews, were shaking and scared. Some of them ran and joined the enemy. Others of them ran and hid in the bushes and the trees. Only 600 with Saul. Three groups. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. So the testimony of Jonathan and his armor bearer caused people to begin to move towards the Lord, didn't it? Let's continue. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in the mount Ephraim, which they heard, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethel. What would have happened if that one lad had not stepped out? It just takes one of you to step out to make a change. Teenager, would you step out? I've heard great testimonies of teenagers who stepped out and changed the world around them. We're living in challenging times. Our president, quote unquote, challenges to make a difference. But you know, somebody greater than that is challenging us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself has called them. One time God said, I'm going around looking for someone. He'll do all the work. All we have to do is make ourselves available. Be willing to walk. Maybe skin our fingers and our knees. Get out on the end of the limb where it'll break. Financially, physically, emotionally. And He'll do great things for you. I remember Don Polo you saw up there. He wasn't likely candidate as a pastor. He was a construction worker, making good money away from home. He was raised in a Christian home, and he knew he ought to have his children in church. And they were getting older in the teenager years. In fact, some of them were already married. He decided he needed to come home and get his family in church. He was kind of shy. He came into the church, but he loved the Lord. The Lord tried him. He couldn't find a job for a while. But his testimony, they never had failed to have food on the table. God is good. God is good in Honduras, just like He is in the United States or anywhere else. He got enthused, got in the Bible, and found out there was exciting things in the Bible. Believed Him. And began to teach Sunday school. Well, we were fixing to take our last furlough, and I said, Don Foley, you think the Lord might be calling you to be the pastor? Oh, no, not me. I'm not qualified. I couldn't do it. A couple of months later, I said, Don Polo, I think the Lord's calling you. He said very humbly, I think He is too. He's just looking for somebody that'll stand up. Would you stand up? Would you be that one? Jonathan did. And God wrought a great victory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ that's here with us and always with us and promises to never leave us. Help us to be brave. Help us to be loyal and faithful and loving enough to step out tonight and say, I'll go, Lord. I'll be the one to make the difference. What an example. And how wonderful to see God work in that life because He stepped out. And know that He would work in our lives. He's looking for somebody that He could work through. God bless this time of invitation and cause each one to weigh their life and their willingness to go. And I pray this message would not just fall away from us, but would dwindle in our hearts, work in our lives. And I would thank You for that. With our heads bowed, I wonder if You wouldn't come right now and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, here am I. What would You have me to do? Would You be bold enough, brave enough right now? Would You stand? Let's all stand to our feet.